Very good. All right, let's get started this morning. Our main text is going to be Acts 2, 12 through 14. And Alex, if you'll get that, Acts 2, 12 through 14. And that'll be all. So, there are a lot of different events that we host, outreach events. And the whole point and aim of our outreaches is that we go and we create a crowd, right? Oftentimes we're going into places where maybe there's not much going on. Sometimes we strategically try to find places where there's already a lot of movement, but then we put something there to draw a crowd and create a crowd to preach to. So I want to look at some practical considerations and give you an understanding that will help your preaching to be effective at events like this, okay? Because our outdoor events, our outreach events, you know, beyond our concert ministry, it's a very different setting. And so I want to give you some practical help there. So let's read our main text, Acts 2, 12 through 14.
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say."
Okay, so this, the context of that passage is Pentecost. The Holy Ghost has poured out. A crowd has drawn. And in that crowd, you have some who are perplexed and amazed. They're curious, they're drawn, they're interested. But then you have others who mocked, right? As they're coming against this. What does Peter do in that moment? He preaches. He preaches an altar call. So I want to think about special event preaching this morning. And let's start, let's begin with the first point here, finding your theme. It's important to every altar call, and really any preaching, whether it's an altar call, whether it's a series or a sermon that you're working on, is you need to find your theme. That is the very first part of any altar call sermon. You identify, what am I preaching about? What do I want to talk about? And then you stick with that. So, for example, when you preach an altar call at 180, altar call preachers and future preachers here, is your task is to find an article, right, a story that parallels the gospel in some way. And in that, you are finding that story and you're finding a theme. What gospel theme connects with this? Once you have that, that's your theme. You stick with that. You preach that. So if you're preaching, your story is a story on forgiveness and your theme is forgiveness, that's what you're going to stick with. If your story has an idea of guilt being removed, then that is your theme and you're going to stick with that through the course of your altar call. If your story has to do with some type of the trap of sin, you know, man keeps a boa constrictor, grows 20 feet long and eats him, right? That's the trap of sin. That is your theme. You're going to stick with that, etc., etc. So your whole altar call idea revolves around that. And so it's a pointed theme. It's a pointed idea. And you lock this in your mind and understand muddy preaching, or preaching that's hard to understand, is broad preaching. Okay, when you are preaching too broad, you're not going to make the same impact, because now you're trying to fit every possible idea into your one altar call. You're trying to fit it, every possible angle, into your sermon, into your lesson. And what's going to happen is, because it's so wide, so broad, it's not going to connect with your listener. They're going to have to think a lot to track with you. So in special event preaching, okay, your altar call at the end of whatever it is you're hosting or doing, a Again, this same foundational idea applies. You need to choose a theme. So we do things like park outreaches with at the courthouse, our movie outreaches. Okay? We know the liturgy. We have a band play. We show a movie, and then the altar call preacher preaches. In that preaching, you're preaching off of the movie. Okay? Right? You don't go up and go, I want to share with you a story about, right? Is you're going to preach off that movie. So find a theme. Yeah, the movie might have more than one theme. That doesn't mean you need to preach it all. Find one theme and connect it. Whether that's a movie outreach, a play, right? You preach off of the play. Find a theme, one theme, choose one and preach it. Family fun days, right? Outdoor concert, etc., etc. You need to identify some type of theme to stick with. And so keeping that in mind, this is very important. So let me ask this question. Why do you think choosing a theme is helpful? I'm talking about not preaching broad, everything. Why do you think? What are some reasons why choosing one theme is going to be helpful? Nate? Okay, it'll keep it clear. Yeah. Edu, you had a thought?
I'm going to say more focused.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're more focused. Zach?
Keep it short.
It'll keep it short, work on your time. Yeah, absolutely. So, exactly. So when you choose one theme, number one, it's going to help your thoughts, right? You ever, you know, guys who've preached altar calls or maybe even sermons and etc. When your theme isn't narrowed and you don't have an understanding of it, there's so much that can distract you. Pastor Greg always said, if your message in sermons, if it's not clear to you, it will not be clear to your listener. So here, it's going to narrow your thoughts, narrow it to one idea. Now you can drive that idea home. Now you can lean heavily on that idea. Now all of your thoughts, right? Things come into mind. Well, I don't need that thought because that doesn't connect. Oh, you know, that fits right here. You're speaking focused on one idea. That's going to help how you think. Secondly, it's going to help your listener. Again, broad preaching, that's muddy preaching. That's low impact preaching. But when your listener can track with your theme, they know what you're talking about. They know the issue you're dealing with, etc. They are going to be able to track with you. They're going to know what you're talking about. You haven't changed course, etc. They're going to be able to follow with you. Then thirdly, it's going to make more impact because now your message is clear. I remember Pastor Greg teaching us in Serious Men, when I was a disciple, is pointed preaching is like an arrow, right? It has a point, and now it can get through the barriers. Now it can get through the fronts. Now it can get past certain things and begin to impact a person's life, right? Pointed preaching is the difference between a wash light and a laser light. A wash light dissipates, but a laser light, it's focused light, and now it can cut, right? It's the difference between a shotgun and a sniper's shot. Shotgun's going to leave beads everywhere, but you get those stories, right? They killed the terrorist while he was sitting on the bathroom toilet. It was focused. It was aimed. It was specific. It was strategic, right? It gets through. So here, that's the point, is your focused preaching is more impact, more effective. You are focused and your listener can track. So in our text, Peter preaches actually a message with a theme. He pulls illustrations and makes applications, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. But the point is, you know, in one hand, yes, 3,000 got saved because he was filled with the Holy Ghost and his message was anointed. But on the other hand, he didn't preach some random words. It was very focused. It was very deliberate in what he said. It was very much in context with everything that was going on, and he made it very clear for the listener. So that's finding your theme. Let's think secondly about the delivery. So let's break down each part of the delivery of your altar call. The first part is your voice. Okay, so usually our special events are outside. So anytime you're outside, that creates factors, right? You've got to deal with weather. You've got to deal, if you think about Mountain Valley Park, you've got to deal with just ambiance, crowd ambiance. Everything under the pavilion echoes, right? Feathers echo under the pavilion. It's just too much sound reverberation. So in that, you've got a lot of dynamics there. Not only that, our outdoor events and special events many times draw a greater volume of unbelievers. And that has an impact. That creates an atmosphere. So in this, when you preach, your volume matters. In special events, your voice is a very important piece to your altar call, right? Pastor Greg teaches us the three volumes of altar call preaching. There's illustration volume, right? Illustration volume is above conversation volume. This whole time I've not been teaching in my conversation voice, right? I just brought it back. This is how I talk to people normally, right? This is my regular volume. But when I'm preaching, you elevate, you declare. So illustration level is above conversation. Then you get to your declaration, right? This is now the gospel, and you're driving your points home. Your voice is bringing emphasis, and then you bring it back to appeal, which is at your illustration level. So in a special event, again, different dynamics than a concert, you're going to mostly be in that declaration level. Because again, there's a whole lot that's going on. You've got a lot of different factors, and your voice needs to cut through all of that ambience. Your voice, yes, you have a mic, but I'm going to tell you, you can only go so loud. I can always pull a mic back, but I can't give it more before it starts causing feedback and other distractions. So this takes practice. Okay, this takes practice. My wife has all these old videos, and I have a video of me first practicing my very first altar call. Yeah, it's not very exciting. But you know what? I was practicing those levels. Yeah, I'm telling you guys, I was thinking on my way in this morning, you know, there was an atmosphere. You wanted to do this to excellence. When Pastor Greg taught us that, it's like, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to preach. That's how I want to minister. I want these levels down, and I'm willing to put in the effort. I'm willing to record myself and watch it and see what I need to work on. You know, just there was such an atmosphere there. And so here in this, it's going to take practice. You have to be willing to practice. Put in the work. There's times still I'll be typing, and my kids know now. When they were younger, they'd be like, who are you talking to? Now they know Dad's typing, and I'm saying out these words. I'm saying them. I'm thinking how to deliver this. And so here, it takes practice. And not only that, then secondly, your voice needs to be interesting. Right? You want to add inflections. You want to keep a rhythm. People like rhythms. People like to fall. They're going to track with that. People like a cadence, tone, and pitch, and pause. They all add something to your message. So all of this takes practice. You know, I've often said in the people skills, etc., working with people, watch videos on it. Look at videos. Read books on public speaking. Find tools. What are things that are going to help? Work on your voice. If you preach all from your throat, you're not going to have a voice at the end of the day. You have to bring it from deep within, right? It's all of these factors. So as you learn this, your voice is that pitch, is that tone that's bringing the gospel to people. So you need to work on your voice. Secondly, is presence. What I'm talking about now is your confidence. And this is also connected to your voice. People who aren't confident, how do they talk? They usually put their head down and they talk a little bit lower. They lack a confidence. They don't want to really address. If you're going to lack confidence in an outdoor altar call setting, you're not going to be heard. You've got to have a confidence. You have to grasp the spiritual reality of what's happening, the warfare that's going on when you are preaching. Because there's a demonic realm that wants to distract. There's a demonic realm that wants to take people away. But again, your voice is what's going to cut through that, and your presence. In our text, think about this, where Alex read, this is again just after Pentecost. They're speaking in tongues. A crowd gathers, a massive amount of people. Some are mocking, the Bible says. These guys are drunk. Peter's like, it's 9 in the morning. We're not drunk. Right? But then there's other people. They're curious. They're engaged. What's this about? They're speaking in a language, but I can understand it. This is all the miraculous happening. And so Peter, the Bible says, he stands up and he lifts up his voice. There's a confidence factor. There's a supernatural authority. Again, we understand this is a dimension of the Holy Ghost. But the point is, his presence made a difference. People follow confident people. People listen to confident people. So in your altar call preaching, just say, preach like you mean it and preach like you believe it. You know, I've worked with guys in the churches I've pastored, and I've told men at different times, I don't believe that you believe this. I don't believe you believe what you're telling people. Why? Because there's a presence and a confidence that's lacking. Verse 14 of our text says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, confident, presence, and a themed message already, right? These are the ingredients for effective preaching. Then third part is application. It's very important that you make your theme, whatever it is you're preaching, applicable to your audience. It has to connect with them, right? And in one part, this is why choosing a theme and sticking with it makes impact, because now you're bringing that theme and how it applies to their life, and they're able to follow that. But also, when you make it applicable to the listener, now they can reference things that they can understand. Right? Peter applied, like I said, go back, read his sermon in that chapter. And in that, he's making reference to the Old Testament. They were Jews that gathered. Okay, it wasn't Gentiles from those nations. It was Jews from those nations, because they were there for the Feast of Pentecost. That's a Jewish feast that they would come to Jerusalem for. So in that atmosphere, he's pulling things that they would understand, and he's connecting it to their lives. When you can personally apply your message, that will make greater impact. How does what I'm talking about apply to you? Right? This is why, you know, I used to, before I was being discipled and pursuing my calling, I used to mock, you know, altar call preachers. They'd give the story and then they'd say, you know, this reminds me of you and I tonight. And I'd be like, why do they always say that? Like every single one of them. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they're making an application with the audience. This story is like us. This story might be like your life. This testimony, you might be able to relate to, right? And so you're making an application. Then the next factor here is time. Regular 180 altar calls are maximum 15 minutes from when you say, if I could have your attention, to let's stand after your head's bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand. 15 minutes. So in other words, we're going to keep it short. That's maximum time. Peter's documented sermon in this chapter we're reading in Acts chapter 2. His documented sermon is 26 verses long. I preached it while I was putting this together, as I imagined it, right? 3 minutes long. It's a quick shot. You know, and again, that's not, there's no magic, you know, to that. There's nothing, I'm not giving you a doctrine here. I'm just saying it was a short sermon. It was enough to, their attention is drawn. Some are interested, some are mocking. He lifts his voice, he has confidence, he's making applications. And it's a short amount of time because God was doing something in that moment, right? I have sat through altar calls. Man, it was set up. The night, the play, the event was set up, and the guy is just going on and on and on, and he's boring, and he's repeating the same thing, and that time is dragging on, and it's like the Holy Ghost is like, I'm out of here. I'm going in and out. You know, he's so you want to keep track of that. Right? A second part of the time factor is the time when you choose to preach. So on one hand, I'm talking about the time of your altar call. But on the other hand, I just want to say you do not have to wait till the end of the night to pull an altar call. Right? Is especially in our outdoor stuff, you know? Yeah, we do a schedule and we need to be structured, etc. But if there's a family of visitors or people start gathering in, why wait? We still have 20 minutes of events, music, and testimonies. Why not pull an altar call? Right? Again, they gather in that moment, and Peter says, preach now. He doesn't say, I will explain this tomorrow at 9 a.m. if you want to come check this out. No, it's in the moment. He executes and takes advantage of the opportunity. Peter preached immediately. So, time, the amount of time of your altar call, keep it short, keep it themed, keep it structured, and then the time when. Be sensitive to that. One of my personal reference points of preaching not just at the end of the night was when I was contending, praying for 7 hands to be raised. I hadn't had any hands raised. When I was preaching, I had people coming forward after I preached my altar call. But I'm contending for hands raised. I prayed specifically for 7. The night was going really well. We had visitors. I asked him if I could pull early. He said yes. I pulled the altar call. 4 responded. I said, we're going to continue the night. We had like 3 things left on the schedule. We continued the night. The last song, more visitors came in. I preached a second altar call. 3 more got saved. The 7 I prayed for. But again, that was sensitivity. Peter was sensitive to the time, and he took advantage of it. Okay, last part then is the appeal. The appeal. And what I mean by the appeal is when you're asking for hands raised. How many here you want to receive this? How many here you're not saved? You want to be born again? You want to pray? Can you just, lock that in your mind? Sometimes it's like, you want to get saved, and you've done it, but now it's like, now you're here tonight, and you want this. And they don't remember what you just said. You want this. And they're like, want what? Lift your hand. For what? Lift your hand. But for what? Raise your hand in this place. How many would there be? Raise it. It's like, for what? To pray and repent of your sins. You want to receive Jesus, okay? You've got to remind them. So, in that, that's what I'm talking about, is the appeal. The special event, think about this, Any of our outdoor and special events is a very unorthodox means for church. Normal for us, because we're used to it. Not normal for the average unbeliever. So, you need to have a strong appeal. For a lot of people, whatever their background is, it could be a reason of embarrassment. Pray out here, but I'm embarrassed. It could be pray out here, but this isn't a church. Pray out here, but what will people think, etc. So, in your appeal, you need to have a strong appeal. A lot of men, they get discouraged when hands don't shoot up immediately. Sometimes even you preach and there is an anointing and there is a presence of God and you're like, dude, souls, the masses are coming tonight. And how many would there be? You'd raise your hand and nothing. And that immediately, what does it do? It strikes their confidence. And they go, okay, let's stand. No, have some depth in your appeal. Don't give up. Give yourself some time to encourage hands raised. Give yourself time to pull for hands raised. As I said, there's a battle going on. People are weighing this out. There's things in their mind, voices that their thoughts, they're thinking through. There's hindrances in the supernatural, all of this. But your voice is what's cutting through that. Your voice and the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life is what's cutting through that. So give yourself time. Tell them you want them to pray. You want to help them to pray. You want to help them to ask for repentance and receive forgiveness for their sin. And give yourself to how many would there be? You'd lift your hand. Backslider, right? You give yourself time in that appeal. To be able to effectively give guests a fighting chance. So let's close this thing about preparation then. So those are the dynamics of delivery, but now the preparation. So a lot of men don't prepare for special events like they do for their 180 altar calls. And it shows sometimes. Okay? And so here, it's good to have an idea of what you're going to preach for the event. Okay, it's good to have an idea. You know what I did as a disciple before I was ever on staff? I had just begun to preach altar calls. You know, I'd watch the movies different at the park outreaches. And I'd think, what would I preach on this movie? What's a theme I could pull from this? It really changed how I watched it. And then later, because we show the same movies, because there's only so many out there that you can use, I had altar calls ready. You know? And so here... and I preached so many where so many got saved in my head, so that really helped the confidence level when it was actually happening, right? But it's good to have an idea, have a prepared message of some kind. We don't always know how things are going to work out, but have an idea, right? If you're doing a family fun day, what's an altar call theme? What would you preach? Right? The puppets just went, and now what? You know, so you've got to think these things through. You know, you've got to gauge your crowd. What do I have here? What's the crowd like? What will connect with them? Okay, this is very important. So think those things through. Then there's spiritual preparedness, right? You want to pray over your upcoming altar call. You want to fast. If you know you're preaching, man, suit up. Be ready. Suit up spiritually is what I mean by that. Getting the armor of God. Outreach for it. You know, I'm going to say God is faithful. And sometimes God moves in those moments that it's like we didn't even prepare for this, but God helped us. But that's not every outreach. Okay, so on one hand, God does bless that. But on the other hand, God also blesses work. God also blesses the time that's been put in. There has to be something more in you. In other words, that's what I'm saying in this preparedness. And so anointing is divine effectiveness. Okay, so with that, I just want to reference something recent as we close. You know, at the rap battle that we just had, the planned event did not go at all as planned. Okay, that happens sometimes, you know. It's one of those things that's like, okay, we have some guest groups coming in. All right, we've got some guest rappers in the area. They're going to come in. Okay. Three didn't show up of the four. The one that did left before his set. So this, in other words, didn't go as we planned. But in the preparation, right? Nate's working on the schedule. He's mapping it out. Again, this is, you can only plan so much because you're waiting to see who shows up. But in the preparation, we know Nate's going to preach. He has an idea of what he's going to preach about. But Zach recommended, hey, what if you do your spokemoni tonight? Okay, now the spokemoni is the spoken word-like testimony with the music over it. It's just what we've coined it. Works. Nate's done this, I think, what was that, your third time so far doing this? Okay, so it's kind of one of those things, we're used to it now. It's like, can Nate write a new one, you know? But it was such a key part. Because the night didn't go as planned. To me, I like structure. I like things in order, and I'm like keeping it in, you know? I'm like praying, God, we need help tonight. This is just not at all how we thought this would go. You know what? We did have a lot of visitors there. And when that spokemoni was given, it's like something, a supernatural presence of God zeroed in on that event. And Nate was able to preach what he had already somewhat prepared, and seven souls responded. That's what I'm talking about. Most of you were there. That's what I'm talking about. When we need an anointing in that moment, an anointing where the Holy Ghost can zero in on a part of the night, and when you deliver that gospel, souls respond. You never know what you're going to get at any of our outreaches. But a prepared man can make the difference. That's the point I want to leave you with. A prepared man can make the difference. Okay, let's open up for some questions. Yeah.
How does that differ when you're preaching like a healing crusade, like a disciple, not an actual pastor, but just a disciple preaching one, whether it be at the park or 180 or anything like that? What kind of time are you shooting for the sermon beforehand?
Yeah.
And in the altar call, essentially, I can't remember if we do the little sermon and then an altar call and then we do the healing crusade. Are you shooting for that healing little mini sermon to be also a little bit evangelistic so that you can pull an altar call too?
Well,
how do you balance that, you know?
Yeah, so you're switching gears here. Healing crusade is actually a very different event as well, which I'm going to do one. I know a lot of guys have been wanting to do them and have been doing them, so I'm going to do my next series man on healing crusades, but in that, as far as the time of your, the point I should say of your sermon there is to cultivate faith. That's what you're trying to do. You're creating an atmosphere of faith. So as far as the time for your sermon, about 15 minutes, okay? And then your altar call, yeah, you're going to pull, your altar call, you're connecting it to your sermon, etc., which you hear Pastor Greg and I do often, and Pastor Cassio even, whatever we've preached in our altar call, we're connecting it, right? What we've preached, that theme, to our altar call, okay? Because that's what they've just sat under. So anyway, you can connect it, and but your sermon portion, about 15 minutes. Yeah, Isaac?
And maybe I'm misremembering from when I was preaching altar calls in 180, but 15 minutes sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that would be max, right? And that's from, we have no moving around, to the whole thing, let's stand, you know, and as you've already done everything, that includes your illustration,
bow your head.
Declaration, bow your heads, how many would there be, you want to get saved, raise your hand, look up me, come forward, now let's stand. All of that is within the max. That's, you know, that's what I've always, that's what I learned and that's what I've done. So yeah. But that would be the max. After that, we're turning the mic off.
I'm just curious if, I know for me, like, once we went out, how important and crucial this was, like, learning the themes and helping my mind think linearly. Wouldn't you say how crucial, this is so critical to sermon writing? I mean, right now it's an altar call, but when you went out, did that help you? I mean,
yeah.
personally?
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge just learning how to do this. So what do you think? I mean, do you think the dynamic of just applying what Pastor Greg puts in this? I mean, that, like, I don't even know where my question's going, but I mean, wasn't that so crucial to you? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And as I said there in the beginning, is important to every altar call and really any kind of preaching, sermons, etc., is finding a theme. And so the point of that, though, in finding your theme and sticking to it and finding an illustration that applies to that, is it forces you to think, right? It forces you to begin to think how to do this better. Okay, that wasn't so effective, you know. And you know, being willing to take some constructive criticism from your pastor, from your wife, right? That's helpful. Some guys, they can't. They cave and crawl into the fetal position. But, you know, your wife can really help you, you know, and give you a good, honest opinion. And so, anyhow, is, yes, Nate, though, is... this was absolutely vital, every bit of this, to my future preaching. I think I've said it before, but I never preached a formal sermon before a congregation until I got sent out to Santa Fe. You know, I did some healing crusades, I did some outreaches, but I mainly preached altar calls. And that taught me how to preach. So this will teach you how to preach. Yeah, me.
I can't remember much of it though. But I'm just thinking, but wouldn't you say that involved in this, from now preaching altar call to sermonizing, the connection of knowing what to take out?
Yeah.
What to take out, you want to put it in there, and you're knowing what to remove from the altar call.
Right. Yeah, so removing material would be anything that doesn't fit your theme, you know? If it kind of fits and you're really grasping, I'm telling you right now, in your sermon, you'll feel it. In your altar call, you'll feel it. It's like you were going and then it's like, and you're like, oh, darn it. Now I got to go get it and bring it back, you know? And so, definitely is whatever doesn't fit your theme. That's, you cut that out, you know? It might be in there. That's fine, you know? In your illustration, you know, it's like, oh, forgiveness, but this part is like, yeah, but just stick with one. It's going to be better. It's going to be clear. Yeah, Devin?
Did you write out your altar calls?
Yes, I did. I wrote out my altar calls in an outline format, you know, like my sermons. And then, of course, right, because we memorize them when we preach our altar calls, that also helps, right, with keeping it short. You get just the meat of what you're doing.
Yeah. With special events, did you?
With special events, like I said, is some of those themes I wrote down for like park outreach movies, and then I always try to find a theme for like family fun days or things like that. You know, that are okay. This is going to be a little bit harder as far as that, but what's a theme I can identify that might be able to fit this mold? You know. Yeah, so I meant with those, sometimes I just write the theme or the idea.
I've heard people say, like I noticed Pastor Greg and you and Pastor Stephen will say, and Pastor Diego as well, they all say, how many would there be in the appeal? And not like, is there anyone?
Yeah.
It seems like that sounds better. Is that deliberate?
Yeah, that's definitely deliberate. And Pastor Greg definitely taught us that. Because, again, we know, you know, it's like Pastor Payne's testimony when he said he's sitting with four guys. Three of them are already part of the church. He's not. And Mark Olson, then a disciple's like, how many here? You're not saved. It's like, we know. There's four of us. I'm the heathen, you know. So, but yeah, is you're actually just helping them by saying how many would there be. They're not feeling like they are the only one. That's the point of it. If you say, who here isn't saved? They're like, well, all these people are saved. Well, I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be honest and say I'm not. So, you know, it's like saying, who here has problems, you know? So, how many would there be? Yeah.
I wasn't raising my hand that I have problems, but I have some. So then once someone does raise their hand, do you continue that and say how many more?
How many more? How many others? Okay. You'd be honest. Yeah.
So then there's still not, even if it is just...
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, Steve, you got your hand.
A couple things, like, one would be like in the, you know, the Prescott Church or whatever, for an event, like, you kind of touched on it with, like, you're losing momentum. Something like, something went wrong with the sound system, or like you say, that rap battle mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then also pioneering, or I did a funeral for my nephew, and that was probably the wildest scene I've ever seen. There was probably 200 people, and they're mostly bikers there. And someone pulled the cord for the sound, so we completely lost all our sound.
Yeah.
And so one would be, you know, like in the church, if you feel yourself losing momentum, and how to get it back, you know.
Yeah.
One would be in fear, and then the other maybe like in pioneering or
yeah.
something like that. Or
right. Yeah. I think the main thing is what we talked about in the prepared man, right? In being suited up, you know, having a prepared understanding. So yeah, things are going to go wrong. Things aren't always going to be perfect, but that prepared man has a confidence, has an assurance, has a leadership ability, has a dominion, right? Again, you're cultivating an atmosphere. So getting as quick as possible back on track and picking up with confidence, you know? And it's one of those things too, sometimes in the moment when the pressure's on, it feels like an eternity. But many times what I've learned is people don't even really realize as long as you stay, your presence, your confidence, that dominion, it doesn't even really faze them, you know? And so, yeah, that would be getting as fast as possible back on track. But the prepared man can carry that through. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd ever had a situation where you've prepared a sermon, a theme and whatnot, and then as the night progresses, mm-hmm. you realize it doesn't fit. You want
right.
to do something different. How do you switch gears and do that?
Yeah, okay, good question. Yeah, so have you ever, let's put it in the context of, yes, usually a concert scene, but you have your prepared theme, your prepared altar call. But as Robert said, the night takes a shift. Maybe there was a solid video, and then that altar call song just connected with it. Yeah, you have to be sensitive to that. Okay, God's taking this another direction. So you preach. So what you identify, what is that theme? And yeah, you are going to preach it. You might not have an illustration, but you have your theme. Right, and this is why it's good to fill the well of your spirit reading the Word of God, because now you can begin to apply Scripture. Right, now you can begin to pull and work that through. So, yeah, you've got to, which is why it's good to learn how to think this way with your theme and sticking to it, because in a moment like that, you've already been doing it, so now it just comes in the moment. Right, you actually train your brain to think that way, you know. It's like sermonizing, like you know, Nate brought up, for the future, you know. I can sit with most of our Prescott disciples, our Prescott guys that have been under Pastor Greg, and I can write a sermon with them, no problem, because we all think the same. We think on a theme, we think textually, right? But you sit with other people, and they're like, so, I have this thought, and it's like, but none of that's in the text, you know? And you've got a million other scriptures, you know, that, so it just, you've got to train your brain to think a certain way. Gabe?
I know that you guys don't write sermons, or you've mentioned it's obviously bad practice to think of someone write a sermon based off of a counseling session you just had or something like, or like, you know, on that person, like you're preaching to them specifically. But I've always wondered, I've seen numerous people come into 180 or things like that are, we know them because they're backsliders or you know, and we're always kind of sitting in the crowd being like, I hope this altar call relates to them personally so that they can be spoken to. Have you ever or seen it, and it would it be healthy or not healthy to know someone is there, know what they're going through, and in your altar call you kind of, you know, maybe have you ever, you know, been stirred to say something that, you know, like along the lines of, you know, mentioning a certain sin or just or whatever to relate to them specifically? Or do you just go with your altar call and God's going to speak to them?
Yeah,
you know?
I just go with my altar call. Yeah. Any preaching, any altar call, you just, yeah, you preach what God gave you. You preach it with confidence. And I've found, you know, in all preaching, altar call to sermons, when you preach what God gave you, it's exactly what was needed, you know. And, yeah, God knows better than me. So, yep, take confidence in his word. Yep. Don't try to tailor it.
So, like you were saying earlier with you are in the middle of the night and you decide to take an altar call early, would you use, like, the sermon or the altar call that you had already prepared? And then if you continue on for a second one, do you just go to the back and kind of, like, throw another one together real quick, or what do you do with that?
Yeah, it just depends. You know, sometimes I've had it both ways. So the first time when I'm talking about that, those seven that responded, the first altar call, I preached my prepared. The second one I preached, I think, off the altar call song. And then opposite, I've pulled altar calls early where I just preached the gospel, you know, the sinners were there and you know, whatever theme it was, and then preached a prepared thing later. It can be either one, you know, either one. Yeah, Isaac.
Along those lines, would it be wise to have multiple, like maybe even whole prepared altar calls, or at least thoughts, where you could have two different illustrations?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Obviously, you want to focus on your one and prepare your one, but, you know, better, Isaac, is to have multiple illustrations. You know, a lot of guys, they find an illustration for the one altar call they need for that month. You know, why not read always looking, right? Why not read with eyes for the harvest? You know what, that'd make a great altar call. I'm gonna keep that. You know what, that would make a great illustration for a future. And you just begin to fill your file for altar call themes and stories. Good. All right. Good questions. Awesome. That's all I have.